Welcome to TLDR with Tony and Luke. I'm Luke.
And I'm not sick.
I am definitely sick because I got the PAX pox.
You did.
Got the spicy cough. Yep. I got the COVID.
Yeah, it's even worse than the PAX pox, I think.
Yeah. I'm no longer a COVID virgin.
Oh.
Now, like popped everyone
your
else.
COVID cherry.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And so it's been a... we haven't had a record because... Well, Tony doesn't want to be in the same room as me because he doesn't want to catch COVID.
No, I thought it was PAX pox first. And if you recall, I don't know if I mentioned it before how sick I was when I had PAX pox. I was
sick. Well, I didn't get PAX pox.
You got COVID.
Bus on the way home from the airport pox.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure it didn't come from actually the convention. Yeah. You know, I followed all the convention rules.
Yep.
You know, no touching the face. You know, wash your hands, you know, like don't stand near people. Well, I didn't see anyone who was like coughing or spluttering, you know, or anything like that kind of thing. Kind of people wearing masks and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of guy on a bus coughing next to me on the way home on the Melbourne C-Link bus thing. Oh, my God. Anyway, so that's why we've been, Tony went away and then PAX pox, been sick, and we're back.
We're back online.
All right. And we have, well, first up, PAX. PAX was, you know, what I find about PAX is, this is my third time going.
Yep.
Every time I have a ball, and it's never as good as the last time I was there, you know, kind of thing. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's great. It's great just to be there in the atmosphere and all the people and all that kind of stuff.
It's amazing.
There was lots of PC hardware and stuff there, which was fun to see all the cool stuff. I mocked everyone with pins.
Ah, so many pins.
The year before kind of thing, you know, sort of. But I got,
you got sucked in.
I went to this, very, very first day.
Yeah.
A Cooler Master had this pod.
Yeah.
Right. So the top of the pod, like lifts up.
It's like an egg.
Like an egg pod. Yep. All white, RGB around the edge, and the lid, I guess, lifts up, which has a screen attached to it, so you can push out the slide-in keyboard and then get out. And the seat's fully reclinable. There's a spot in the back to put your rig.
Yeah.
Inbuilt speakers. Very nice. $25,000. Hard pass.
Yeah.
I mean, even with my chair, which is very expensive, and my PC, which is also very expensive, I would still walk away with good change out of $25,000.
Yeah.
Jesus. Anyway, so I did that, and then she gave me a little Cooler Master mouse pin. This is fun. How many free pins can I collect? And that was it. So I was collecting pins. We went and did all the passports to get the lucky dip of pins. I got a Taco Cat Cheese Pizza Taco pin.
Oh, nice.
Which is great because I missed out on that one last year. So they had some this year. I had to get like that little Mario one. Fantastic. The best thing I got though, in terms of like loot, was I don't have it around actually. I do. Here it is. It's from Keytron, a keyboard company. A little key ring hanger thing with an actual keycap.
Oh no, it is too.
Yep. And it only came with a brown switch inside it.
Yep.
So since I came home, I have a few extras around. I threw a little blue in there for extra
clickiness.
Fantastic. So we were just walking around
clicking,
hey, pay attention because you can't hear anything, whatever. You hear this like clicking from behind you. You're like, what the hell is that kind of thing? Yeah, that was great. The most expensive thing I got was we had to post on Instagram, of which we made burner accounts for everything.
Yeah.
And they gave us a $45, one of those desk mouse pads, you know, the ones that a bar runner kind of thing. We all got one of those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not bad. I don't think anyone won any competition. So, like last year, someone won a gaming laptop. So, nothing quite so grand.
Oh, really? But, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, Frank won a gaming laptop.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. That was a fun little side thing. We went and did the PAX XP thing where you got to photograph all the QR codes, got a pin.
Yeah.
We got a pin for that? No, we got a bottle opener for that. And so, my bloody lanyard was so way. I just put anything I got for free, pins. Just went on the lanyard. Yeah. It was just this huge thing.
It's really, I enjoy that too, the treasure hunt stuff. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
And they should give away the pins for free. They should be like $25 each. That's crazy.
It's so expensive.
Because there's so many of them. So you're not going to pay $25 to collect 10.
Well, look, that's, I mean,
$250 for 10 pins.
Probably do. That's the
thing. People, you know, do. Yeah. Maybe,
yeah.
But I think they're a great thing to hand out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they encourage you to go to all the other booths to get the other ones.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Yep, yeah, the little Mario one was cool, little with like rubber pixel Mario one looking thing. Nintendo booth. You had to just, you know, sign up for whatever it was. You just sign up for the thing. You know.
I got the Magic of the Gathering ones, which are actually probably worth some money now.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
I got 2 years in a row, they did pins for the Magic of the Gathering booth. And I got those two.
Yeah, so I decided I wasn't going to buy any pins, but I'll definitely get as many free ones
as possible.
As I can. Yeah, and I can see how many I can get next year and see if I can increase the levels on it. Yeah, but in terms of like the show, lots of indie games there. Nothing that really stood out necessarily. Okay. There was one couch co-op game that did look like a lot of fun because we were looking for multiplayer co-op games. Yeah. And every time we went, oh, that looks good. Is it online co-op? And they're like, Not really, you know, indie devs, they don't like me. But one catch cop game we saw that looked really cool was this refueling station one. You had three colors, and you dragged the pipes into the middle to maybe mix the colors together to fuel the cars, because the cars need all different types of fuel.
Yeah.
Maybe the pipe, maybe they don't need a mixer, maybe you can just drag it straight in.
Yep.
So it's co-op together with, like, you know, the chaos that happens, everyone trying to, like, fill up these cars, and they need a red and you need a blue, and the pipes don't go very long, and there's this, for whatever reason, this gas station has a circular lava pit in the middle with rotating grates kind of thing. I had a good chat with the developers about that. I'm like, great gas station, what, lava ring? He's like, I'm like, oh, I see, it powers the geothermal and everything. He's like, yes, that's why I put the lava there. Definitely. That one looked fun. But yeah, it was fine. There was not a huge amount of big developers there. We played the new Mario game because Nintendo had a booth. Yeah, the new Mario.
So the RPG one?
No, it is. Odyssey?
Yeah, that's the new RPG one, I think.
I guess it is an RPG.
Okay, yep.
I don't know. It didn't really get
They're billing it as an RPG. It didn't get an RPG feel to it.
There's an overworld map, and there was some conversation that we had. You know, if that was what you want to call an RPG,
that's not what you call it.
Sure, I mean, it's not Starfield, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. So, like, but it is four players on the same screen. You can be running around together, but one person is the primary.
Yeah.
And that's what the camera follows, and everyone else gets kind of left behind. Yeah. It's sort of the Sonic and Tails.
Yeah, okay.
Which.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
It was fine. Look, I'm sure if you're playing with kids, right, and you give the kids the other ones and, you know, you just play it and they just run around.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's great fun and I'm sure it'll be fine. I didn't find it particularly compelling, although it's like a pretty standard Mario side-scroller adventure kind of thing. Yeah. You know? Yeah. Very few on the vendors. So I went looking for some connected dice for you, Tony, to see if anyone had. There was nothing. The only thing that was even remotely in the same realm was you can get 3D printed dice. I was like, digital dice. And now, digital printing dice. I see. Yep, never mind then. Okay. Yep. Lots of dice, but no connected stuff. Connected dice. Quite a few trading card games. But I would say overall, there was probably like less vendors there.
Okay.
In general kind of thing. No Logitech.
I've got to say, this year probably didn't know this because you were at PAX, but this is the first year I've received advertising during PAX to buy tickets to go to PAX the next day.
Right.
So I think they made a big mistake selling out their 3-day tickets so early.
Yeah.
Because they clearly didn't sell all their Saturday and Sunday tickets.
It was.
Because they were still pushing Saturday and Sunday during the convention.
Yeah, probably so. Saturday was Saturday felt like a packed day.
Yeah.
It was solid. Yeah. But yeah, Sunday and Friday were actually quite good.
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not, but see, like, I wouldn't say Saturday and Friday were slow days. Saturday was just insane.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether they increased how many tickets they were selling as well and they didn't hit their targets.
Maybe they did.
It's hard to know, see, if they.
They restricted their 3-day passes and said, we'll do more individual passes.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. But I would have gone had I been able to get a 3-day pass. So. They lost my money straight away by not having a 3-day pass.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. No artists, which is a bummer. There wasn't any artists there last year either, but I like to get some artwork
you
know, see what they're doing, watch them paint and stuff like that. You know, the grog zone where the bar is was trashed because a bunch of non-drinkers in there drinking that stupid cold ones. New alcohol beverage that they launched at the place.
Okay.
So Cold Ones is a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
That's apparently quite popular. I'm not really familiar with it. They released a new a seltzer So you know, I had one.
Fizzy water.
Yeah, grape soft drink, but it's alcoholic kind of thing. So all the non-drinkers were in there. So the whole thing was packed. It's like, I just want to get a beer and I don't have to walk outside with this full of all these people. Let's go to the pub across the way instead kind of thing.
Yeah.
I got to meet, although because Cold Ones were there, one of my favorite YouTubers, Darcy Arms, was there because he works for Cold Ones.
Okay.
So I got to meet him. That was like a highlight to sort of meet a creator. It's always like super fun. Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, I love your stuff, you know? Yeah, so that was it. That was definitely a highlight. You know, I went a couple of panels. We didn't get to go to Dark Room because we went to the Fortress Gala instead. They had like an unlimited drinks package thing there, which started off good in the line for it because Fortress is the big gaming thing there, right?
Yep.
In the line, they had a little close hand magician. What are they, kind of thing. Did like a little magic trick in the line kind of thing. Yeah. That was really cool. So I'm looking forward to like catching him again.
Yeah.
And then when you had to roll a dice, like a 20-sided dice, and you got a drink ticket or whatever you did kind of thing. And that was it. That was and the rest of it was just, you're on a dance floor. We got crappy music playing and open bars, which open bars is fine. Yeah, and we were like double and triple marketing up. We got our money's worth out of it, but there was no... It was supposed to be like a best dress competition.
Okay, nothing.
And no MC, no like, hey, welcome to Fortress Gala, how was PAX? Yeah. You know, nothing. Zero. Oh, wow, it was so weird. I'm like, it's a bin that. If it wasn't for the massive amount of booze we got for cheap, I would have much preferred to go see Dark Room again. I did catch a panel with Halfbrick Entertainment. Who make such gems as Jetpack Joyride.
Okay, yeah.
With the CEO talking about the journey that they went on in like making those games and like how he wasn't keen on free to play, but saw the writing on the wall and went, we've got to do this, and had to like bring the company with him on the journey of doing free to play that nobody there was keen on, which is always good to know that like these devs doing this stuff
hate it as well.
Exactly. And they're just doing it because that's what the market kind of demands. And then he's also like, I regret putting Jetpack Joyride 2, on, it's an exclusive to Apple Arcade.
Okay.
Someone asked him, Jetpack Joyride 2 Android when? And he's like,
never.
2 years. That's supposed to be when the exclusivity contract runs out. He's like, I do regret doing that, but you got to,
make money.
Apparently, it's been very good for them, though, to have that recurring income coming in from that rather than, you know, the other stuff kind of thing. So, that was interesting kind of thing. But, overall, like, I love PAX. I love running around just looking at all the stuff, trying all the competitions and doing all that stuff.
It's a good atmosphere.
Yeah. They had a whole...
Where else can you see Kylo Ren playing Geralt of Rivia at life-size chess? Where else but PAX?
Nowhere else. That's true. They had one thing that I missed out on that I didn't see was like a LARPing group was there. And they had a whole RPG quest line thing.
Oh, okay.
But we didn't catch until Sunday.
Yeah.
And my feet were dead. Yeah. I can't be bothered. But they had a couple of like fantastic, like a person inside of a dragon kind of thing. So the whole story was like these two dragons that fight, the red dragon and the white dragon or something like that. So they were wandering around doing their
dragon things.
Yeah. It was really cool. You know, cosplay all over the place.
Yeah, the cosplay is so good at PAX. I'm always impressed by it.
Yeah. Once again, just as good as I've seen before. The person who was doing the Keytron booth, where I got the clicker from, she came as a cyberpunk. I remember one of the main characters from Cyberpunk.
Okay,
then did a fantastic Lara Croft, the modern Lara Croft, where she's all got all the cuts and everything on her and all her, like, all the dirt and stuff like that. Yep. And then she did some sort of elf thing on the third day. But just obviously, I guess she's like getting paid to be the booth and do the things. But her cosplay was fantastic. Yeah. It was really good. I really enjoy it. I just wish there was more. It's not a PAX problem. It's an everywhere problem. The big developers aren't interested.
Yeah, okay.
They're more likely to control their own narratives than come to something like that's a community run kind of thing, which is a bit of a
disappointment.
I think so. Oh, I've said one more highlight was watching the Doom Revolution thing where they play Doom 1, EM1, level 1, so the very first level, but with a DDR pad.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to use like DDR. It's basically you know, you got the four directionals, obviously, and then A and B are like the two foremost ones, which is where you shoot from, kind of thing. And yeah, trying to like
Dance Revolution, Doom,
playing Doom and stuff that like would that.
Be very hard.
Yeah, yeah. The trick, as we were watching people go through and try it out, the trick is because EM11, you don't have to stop. You have to shoot. You have to jump. It's just it's actually just a straight line.
Yeah.
To me, I didn't really remember it all that well. It wasn't until people got through. I'm like, oh, hold forward. So put one foot on the forward button, and then with your other foot, you do left and right, and just tap, 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 and then you just have to kind of like just do it in one go before you get shot to hell. Didn't see anyone do it, but a couple of people came very close. Very impressive. That was like okay. The pad though. Complete rubbish.
Yeah.
Oh my god, it broke so many times in just a few minutes of using it. I'm like, oh, this thing is terrible. Yep. Absolutely terrible. So PAX was fun. Double thumbs up. Would go again next year and go, oh, this is great. And it wasn't as good as last year.
Yeah.
See how it goes. I was hoping though, I did hear some rumors that Bethesda was gonna be there, but that definitely did not eventuate at all kind of thing. So they didn't have any presence that we saw kind of thing that I noticed. But I did return home and through my spicy cough, I have been convalescing with a bit of Starfield. Yes, yes. And have, for the most part, been enjoying my time so far.
Yep.
Been such a long time since we played, I'm trying to remember where I think last time I was doing it, I hadn't done any of the story.
No.
At all? All right. Yep. I think I was still in the middle of doing the Ryujin Industries quest line.
Right.
Which I finished.
Okay.
Which I did quite enjoy.
Yep.
And you get like a special from it as well kind of thing. So it's definitely worth doing. Yep. Although it's very stealth heavy.
Oh, okay.
And I am not expecting the stealth. Yep. So I was very frustrated. I could have gone loud, but I was like...
Yep. I want to stealth it. They want you to stealth it, so I'm going to try and stealth
it. They do want you to clean, you know, get in, do your thing, get out clean kind of thing. And so I kind of gamed the system a little bit to sort of like, you know, the stealth mechanic versus cyberpunk versus what this does and how you feel doing it.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Oh, okay.
In cyberpunk, you feel slick, you feel powerful, and you feel empowered.
And you laugh at them when they walk right past you.
Yeah. All that stuff, you know, but in Starfield, they walk right past you and then will get five steps down and then spot you and turn around and things like that. You know, and see you when they shouldn't.
When they shouldn't actually
see you and stuff. Yeah. So it really becomes a bit more like, okay, forget what I think is happening and do react to what's going on. Like I could shoot the turret, above me, right? And the guy would be around the corner and that. No problems at all.
Yeah.
But if I close the doors and he's close by.
Oh, who closed the door?
That's it, you know. Yeah. So that was a bit frustrating. And then I finished that off. That was good. And then I got cracking on the story. And I just, like, apparently just, like, blew through, like, most of that main quest line, or what it feels like anyway.
Yeah.
To the point where I kind of have some idea about the secrets and the artifacts and all that kind of stuff. I now sort of have some story about it kind of thing. Which is interesting. Where are you up to with it?
Well, you've obviously got further than I have. I've done two of the three initial starting quest lines. So I've done the cowboy quest line and I've done the Sarah, what's her name, quest line. I haven't done the Eye in the Sky, Ivan Russian Dude quest line. That's the one I haven't done yet.
Oh, which is...
So I've got four artifacts, basically.
But you haven't been to any of the temples yet?
No.
Oh.
No. And then I got arrested. Then I did the Mantis quest line.
Ah, that's what I did. That Mantis is great.
Because bugged. And I missed a whole awesome bit of side story. The dude that's cowering in the quest, don't shoot me, don't shoot me.
Yes.
I couldn't talk to him. He would not talk to me.
Right.
So I had to go online to find out what he did. And it's really awesome. I was so annoyed. So I spent 2.5 hours trying to unbug it by doing all the things people had said online that they could do to unbug it.
Okay. So let me think about that, right? That was a while ago now.
Whole room full of spaces or whatever they are.
Yeah.
And then shooting at you.
Yeah.
And this Starfield is the game I love to hate. There's two broken tripod turrets on the doorway. And so I kept thinking that the turrets were shooting him. I thought they were actual active turrets and they were shooting him.
Yeah, okay.
So after I killed all the spaces and I found the guy cowering on the ground.
Yeah.
And it optional talk to Luca or whatever his name is.
Yep, yep.
And so, okay, couldn't talk to him. I thought, okay, maybe he's dead or something. And then he stands up and then Sarah hits him with my souped up laser blaster. She's doing like 300 damage each time she shoots her laser rifle. It's insane. How quick she's killing stuff. I don't know. It must be her. The combo of the laser rifle I've given her and her abilities make her. She's just insane.
But wow.
She'd shoot this guy and kill him instantly straight away. Yeah. As soon as he stood up. So I then started toying with going back and dropping her off and going back to talk to him.
Yep.
But she'd come running in. I didn't take her far enough away and she'd come running in. She'd shoot him before I could talk to him. So I wasted 2.5 hours trying to talk to him. I eventually gave up. I even went back to the start of the save at outside that autosave point right at the start and ran. I just ran all the way through. Didn't kill any of them.
Yep.
And got to him and I could talk to him. But now I had 36 or 40 bad guys behind me. And I went, no, I can't be bothered with that. It's not worth talking to him.
That's interesting because I did speak to him.
Yeah.
And then I got through the puzzle.
Yeah.
And then I went to the next room and then he kind of just disappeared.
Oh, so he's bugged.
I don't know.
He's supposed to lock you in the room with that robot.
Right.
According to the internet, he's supposed to lock you in the room with the robot to try and get you killed, and he runs off to steal the ship and gets killed by the other robot. That's what's supposed to happen. So he does betray you.
That may have happened and I missed it because sometimes it's a bit frantic and the script is a bit janky, dodgy. Yeah.
Again, they made the mistake of stuff. Important stuff the story goes on while you're in the middle of a fight. That is the stupidest thing to do. You're not going to stop concentrating on the fight, do you? The important dialogue, are you? Because you're going to die.
Yeah. And constantly getting like people talking and then some people talking over the top.
Yes, on the top of them, yeah.
And even then the subtitles don't fixate on the most important conversations. Yes. It's like I'd read what was going on even if I couldn't hear it.
They override each other
and stuff. Yep.
So, I disarmed that puzzle because I thought, again, those laser turrets that weren't really laser turrets, that's just set dressing. There's not laser turrets out the front. I ran past and hacked the terminal and disabled the lasers to now come out and talk to him. And now found out it was Sarah that was killing him.
Yeah.
Then found out that the lasers I disabled were actually the puzzle.
Yes.
So I completely bypassed the puzzle because I disabled all the lasers.
Right.
And that's how I worked out that the lasers in the front room are actually just set dressing and weren't lasers at all.
Interesting. But you got the ship.
I got the ship.
The suit of armor and
actually
like
an awesome story.
Yeah.
Because she was such a bad mother.
Yeah.
She didn't for a second ever doubt she was going to kill her own son.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy. It's an amazing tragedy.
Great story. Again, like the best stories of Bethesda tell, the ones that are kind of like just this environmental thing. Like there's just this base left abandoned, kind of thing. And like, why is this so here? And then the story slowly revealed.
Yeah,
you know, kind of thing. I did enjoy that. I forgot about the goon because he kind of disappeared on me and I went, oh well. I progressed too far. I'm like, I'm not going back to deal with that, you know, whatever.
Oh, I'm super curious. I want to find out what he was there for and couldn't talk to him.
I'm glad that you told me that. I figured that's what it was going to be. Just, like, I knew it would just be a betrayal kind of thing. Because the conversation you have with him is all about, how can I trust you? Should I just kill you now?
He locks you in one room and then runs towards the ship and gets killed by the other robot.
Yeah, because there's like a few robots in there. More than you expect. Yeah. Great ship though. I've been using it ever since.
It's a crap ship.
Why?
In order for me to get to the Mantis Lair, I had to go through another star system where there's the farmers, the free star collective farmers that need you to restart their communication satellites.
Oh, yep.
So on a scale of 1 to 10 rage, this quest gave me a 12.
Oh.
So power the first one, great. No problems.
Yep.
Second one, there's some goons there. I'm getting used to starship combat in my starter ship. Kill the goons, power it up. Great. Go to the third one's destroyed or whatever it is, but the third one's wrong. Okay, there's one to go. I go to the last one. There's a fight going on between three level 23 pirates, and I don't even know what the other ships are because I get blown up straight away.
Mm.
So two times I warp in and get blown up within seconds. So I go, okay, this can't be right. Something must be wrong. So I think what's happened is just a random pirate spawn has spawned in the middle of that quest.
Yeah.
And because it saved the world state, the pirates are always there when I spawn in. So I go, aha, I remember the tutorial. The tutorial gets you to power down your ship and sneak up to the thing and scan it and get away so the pirates don't detect you. I'm going to do that. So warp in, power down everything. So my engines have got one pip.
Yep.
The pirates are busy fighting. I find out that the dudes that they're fighting are actually the police guys.
No, the Freestar Collective.
No, the United.
Oh, the UC. The UC. Marine. Yeah, okay, yep.
Finally, I'm going, okay, good. That's good. The thing's so far away, I start crawling towards it. I hear one ship go kaboom. I hear a second ship go kaboom. I hear the third ship go kaboom. Okay, great. Now they'll warp out and I'll be fine. No, suddenly my engines start getting shot at.
Yeah.
And I blow up.
Yeah.
Going, so what is the point of teaching you how to stealth?
If you can't.
If it doesn't actually work when you very need it to. So that got me up to 12 on my factor. So then what I did was I warped in, and I love the way that you can't warp in on the other side of the planet. You always warp in the middle of where the fight is.
No opportunity to
scan it and see what's in there, and I'm going to warp out here. Yeah. So I warp in, and I immediately start charging my warp drive to warp to the Mantis planet, because now that's only one jump away.
Yeah.
So I jump to the Mantis planet. They don't kill me. Excellent. Spend hours and hours doing the Mantis quest,
because
I'm killing everything and looting everything and overloading myself completely. Get the Mantis ship. Go, okay, now you pirates are in trouble. Fly back. The pirates are gone.
Yeah.
But the actual quest progresses and the level 2, level 5s and level 8 dude rock up.
Yeah.
And shred me. I go, okay, I've just been doing hand-to-hand combat too much. I've forgotten how to do ship combat. Do it again. Shred me. Do it again. Shred me.
What?
Oh, okay. Spit the dummy. Go back, da da da, and then I think, oh, I should have gone back to the Mantis planet, got into my ship that I know how to use, and gone back and forth. I didn't think of that. Too late now. So I've got that quest 4/5 finished, but no, they shredded me in the Mantis ship, so I've no idea what's wrong with the Mantis ship.
But I've been using it ever since I picked it up, and I've done that quest with the completed that, no problems, crushed it.
I could not.
I've gone way up to like fighting some much harder stuff in the main story quest, like level 23 stuff, you know, and no problems with it.
Uh-huh.
My guy does have a couple of perks
in that base
tree, so maybe that's making a difference. Interesting.
I should have gone back into my original starter ship. I was really good at space combat in that starter ship. I go back to New Atlantis, and my dad gives me a new spaceship. There's one playing poker. So now I've got 3 spaceships.
Oh, who gave you your
my dad. I got the family perk at the start.
Oh,
your mum
and
dad, and you're paying for them to have an apartment in New Atlantis. And he gave me a starship that he won in poker.
Hilarious.
So now I've got this cargo hauler starship.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which leads me to talking about cargo bays.
Yeah. Tell me about cargo bays.
I worked out.
Yes.
I can personally, my character can personally carry more inventory than I can put in the cargo bay of my ship.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, because is there even an upper limit in this game for how much you can carry on your person?
No, you can carry as much as like that. That's not the point. I've buffed myself up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got the heavy hauler cargo stuff. So I've got plus 100 kilograms I can carry.
Oh.
But my character can carry 280 kilograms worth of stuff or something like that.
Yeah.
The ship can only carry 130 kilograms worth of stuff. It's got an effing cargo bay. It should be 2,300 kilograms of stuff.
I think the Mantis has got a cargo bay of like
400. No, Mantis is less. The Mantis is even less than the starter ship.
It is, but I still thought it was more than...
No, I can carry more than the cargo bays. It's ridiculous.
Oh.
Okay. I feel like I could be wrong. Now you've made me think about it. I could be wrong, but I feel like my character can carry more than I can put in the cargo bays in my ship.
I thought the Mantis had like 400 and the starter ship had like 480.
I think it's a lot less, unless it's all the ship parts, because I use ship parts because of ship combat, and the ship parts weigh 10 kilos each, which is insane.
A few, I got like 10 of those on me.
But this all feeds into why this is a game I love to hate, because you need so much to do everything. You need so much of everything to do everything. Oh, you have to collect it all.
Yeah.
And then you can't store it anywhere. All.
Make it so hard.
There's nowhere to store it. So I go, okay, I'm going to use one of the other systems in this game.
Yeah.
Oh, so two. First, I go, okay, I'm going to add a cargo ship. I'm going to add a new cargo bay to my starter ship.
How'd you go with that?
The ship design is appalling.
Oh, my God. I could not get anything to attach.
So there's locks.
Yeah.
So each piece of ship has lock points.
Yeah.
So the starter ship, I tried to take the cockpit off and put a cargo bay between the crew panel and the cockpit and put the cockpit on the cargo bay. That's what I tried to do.
Yeah.
Couldn't work out why I couldn't do that, so I gave up. Then I worked out, oh, there's hard points. So the starter ship has got a free hard point on the top of the cockpit, so you can put a new gun there or something.
Yeah.
So go, okay, I'm going to make it's going to look stupid. I'm going to put a cargo bay on top of the cockpit.
Yep.
But the cargo bay only have side connecting connectors, and you cannot rotate it. You can rotate it left or right, but you can't rotate it 90 degrees.
Right. Yeah, right.
So
right.
That system fights with itself. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So unless you rip your whole ship apart.
And start again.
And starting again, which takes hours, by the way, because I did start doing that, and I spent 45 minutes doing it, and got ship design errors where the things are red, and I go, I can't be bothered working out what's going on. Delete, go back, I'm going to give up. I'm trying to put another cargo bay on my starter ship.
Yeah.
So the ship design is appalling.
Yeah.
So I go, okay, so I'm going to build a colony. I got two dudes that want to work in a colony. I'm going to build a colony and just store my stuff there.
Yeah.
No. That system is appalling as well. So I gave up on that. These are the materials you need to build the landing bay. Okay. So I walk over there with the materials to build the landing bay. No, I can't put the landing bay here. Sorry. There's not enough room where you've built your beacon to put a landing pad down. So I go, okay, screw that. Go to another planet, put a beacon down, build a landing bay. The materials are different. That planet needed different materials to build a landing bay. So I just gave up at that point.
Hmm.
The game is fighting with itself so much.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love the Mass Effect part of the game. The walking around, the shooting the guns, the killing the bad guys, the revealing the story.
Yep.
I absolutely love that. They've got that really well done.
Yeah.
And the people feel alive. I do hate that there's no map. I'm completely getting lost in New Atlantis. And you've got to sell all your stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like you can give up on money because the ship components are so expensive.
Yeah.
You need to hoard everything and then sell it all to get enough money to buy stuff.
The no map is very not even a there's a mod you can get that just adds a visitor board to New Atlantis. So you know if you're in a public space they've got boards to tell you like this is where you are.
Yep.
This is the layout of the land. Yeah. So you can physically look at a board in the game and work out where to go. Yep. I mean, that would be
even that,
immersive.
And because you're trying to sell stuff, so you're crawling. You can only crawl because you're weighed down with the stuff you want to sell.
Yeah.
And you can't remember where you need to go and you can only crawl. It's so frustrating.
And if you want to sell from your ship, you can only sell from the cargo bay. You can't sell from the captain's. You can't sell from any other containers you might have.
The Mantis has got the display stuff. You can't sell from that.
Or anything. You can't even put a lot of stuff into those display cabinets anyway. It's kind of weird. Everything's got such a low storage limit. It's very...
Yeah, it's very which I would be fine with if you didn't need so much stuff to do everything.
Yeah. So I've been playing with Outposts, been getting a little bit more into it.
Yeah.
I had to rebuild my warehouse array. So I just built like little... Because you got the different types of cargo containers for gas, food... gas, liquids... raw components and...
Oh, yeah, I saw that there's different storage types.
For the different types, And so you build one and then you connect it to the next one that you build, right? And so things will flow sort of across, but they flow in a weird way because they flow like from distance furthest away to... Like the furthest away containers will fill first more than the closer ones. Yep. And then they hook it up to a cargo link so that you dump stuff in there and then it just sort of filters out.
Yep.
And it kind of works, but kind of sometimes you're like, why is there 20 pounds of space not in this one that's not moving stuff over? It kind of like doesn't work. And because it's all just invisible, there's no physical representation of what may be going wrong. There's no indicator. And so I kept running out of aluminium and iron. I'm like, okay, you've got to go build an aluminium and iron just to collect it because you're just using so much of it.
Yeah.
So I went through every other planet in the system and not one planet has iron, which is kind of annoying because I thought, what no iron, like no, anyway, I found aluminium base.
Yeah.
And I got that up and running, and I worked out that what I should have built rather than a landing pad was a cargo link.
Yes. Which sends
it stuff to the other ones. And magically. Also acts as a landing bay for your ship though as well.
Oh, it does, which, doesn't it? Okay.
Well, yeah, it's a huge, massive, okay. Like it looks exactly like the landing pad, except yeah. It's got two boxes on it.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, why do you have a landing pad? And why is this?
That's
not
the other thing I don't like.
Thing? I'm like,
when you find a location on a planet that's clearly got a landing pad on it, you can't land your ship there.
No, because you have no control.
You can't manually fly your ship.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bummer. So that's the part annoying. That I miss from there, man. Sky is going from space to the planet. That experience is just not there, which is a bummer. Just
yeah.
Flying down to the planet and landing is kind of fun, even if it's sort of a bit time consuming to have happen, right. You know, because you still got to like fly and because well, I guess the other thing is too, like when you go to a planet, you only go to that one planet. The other planets are all like in their other orbits and like quite a distance away. Yeah. Where No Man's Sky, it kind of like just shoves everyone together in the one corner of the solar system, sort of thing, you know? Yeah. Anyway, just a little difference, but yeah. So I've worked that out. So now I need to get a cargo link built on my main base, and then I start selling aluminium back.
Yeah.
Then I got to work out somewhere that has iron and helium-3 to power it,
yes,
to send it interstellar, and then I can start making like adaptive frames like out the wazoo, and then I can build as much other stuff, like, you know, kind of start looking at that. But it's a bit.
I'm gonna have to get you to show me how to do Outpost because I haven't got it.
But give me another on the Fortnite, and then we can have a discussion about it. It's I don't know, but as you say, like you need these resources, and it's hard to like. Write a list.
Yes.
It's hard to like, you can put, I want to search for this, but you can't build a recipe list.
No.
You know, if you want to do like an automation thing, right? I'm going to go satisfactory. What does that do?
Yeah.
I go, I want to build, I'm going to build an outpost, right? I'm going to build a new steel factory. Okay. So I'm going to need, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 miners. I'm going to need 8 foundries. I'm going to need 100 belts. I'm going to need this, and then a whole little list gets built out. It tells me all the total components that I want, and as I get them in my inventory, the little bars fill up until I'm done. It's like that's how it should be.
You just put a blue magnifying glass.
That's all you get. Yeah. So get the phone out.
Yeah.
3 beryllium.
Yeah.
4. What else do I need? I need a solar panel to power the extractor.
That should be 100% built into the game.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you.
Shouldn't have to like mess around with it. And then you've got to go. So I built this array, right? Which is working now of all these little containers that store 70 pounds.
Yeah.
70 pounds in each of these little
That's
boxes, right?
Stupid.
I need to find adaptive frames.
Yep.
How do I know that I even have adaptive frames in the first place is because I went to the research bench and looked at that and it said in your inventory you've got 4 adaptive frames.
Yes.
I have 4 adaptive frames and I have 20 cargo containers. Which container has the adaptive frame?
Oh, no.
Not this one. Not this
That's
one. Not
terrible.
This one. Oh, look, there's one here.
Yeah, the interfaces are appalling.
It's good if you want to like pull it into the research bench and do research because it's all just there. But you can't go to a central interface and say, give me this, give me this, and have it just
should,
come out.
Which you 100% should be able to
every
do.
Little it's like, this is the dumbest, most and I think, again, I'm like, okay, so I have a sorting system, right? In Satisfactory, again, I got a belt with all the splitters, and then I have little containers, and I can get a little sign on each one, and I can go, I want some of this, open it up, just full of stuff, pull it out, you know, really easy.
Yeah.
Took a bit of time to set up. But I don't know there's even a function to do it and stuff where I could like have
label each container. Yeah.
And if you did, there's so much stuff, it seems. I don't know how many,
I've ended up,
there's a lot of items.
I've ended up using my companions as my inventory storage system.
Oh, yeah.
So I give all my medical components to the robot. I give all my weapons to Barrett. I give all my food to Sarah.
Right, right.
And so I know when I want what, who I go and talk to. And they've got all in their inventory.
Yep. That's not bad. I've built a few in my outpost. I've got like a hab and I put a few storage containers in there that I can dump stuff. So I've got a storage container full of like random knickknacks that I found that I want to kind of keep and maybe use for decoration at some point in the future. So I just, as I pick them up, I just throw them all in there to get them. I put them in the captain's safe and then I take them out of that in there. Upstairs in the Mantis is a box up there.
Yeah.
That's where I put all the guns.
Yeah.
So anything that's yellow or purple, I put in that box to sort of go through later kind of thing and then work out what's going on.
There's so many things I want to talk about with this game.
Yeah.
You're talking about the putting all the purple and yellow guns. There's so many different types of weapons, and you've got no reason to try any of them out.
And I hate the whole calibrated, refined thing. I find it just, it's another articulation on the how good a gun is.
Yeah.
It just does not need to exist.
And I 100% want one of these role-playing games to invent something that lets you take the random modifier out of something and put it into another.
Yeah, so I can just, you know.
I got this amazing, the Grendel I've got when you kill people, it increases the chances of finding a
health pack. Yeah.
But it's got minus 500% recoil control.
Yeah.
So literally they're going to go, nin-nin-nin-nin.
Yeah.
Hit them with two bullets.
Yeah.
So I want to take that mod, which is an awesome mod, and put it in a better weapon.
Yeah.
But no, you can't do that.
No.
If you want that mod, you have to keep using that rubbish gun.
I just
want to
put it into a machine that researches the mod, and when I build enough in, I then unlock that to
mod.
Be applied to whatever gun I want. Like it's a single player RPG, people.
Yeah,
what
you don't have to worry about balance control. No, exactly.
Finding a good gun with good mods and then going, well, it's not calibrated, so bin.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I've given Sarah just a white calibrated laser gun and she's doing insane damage.
Anything calibrated. If it's not calibrated,
you
I don't even
throw it away.
It's not worth it. Yeah. It's not worth keeping.
And it's not worth looking. I find it's not worth looking at the yellow and purple ones because you want to use them, but they're rubbish.
Rubbish. You're like, oh, well, it's not calibrated.
It's not calibrated bin. Yeah.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep. It's stupid. It's so dumb. It leaves me with all the box full of guns that I don't want to use because they're just not functional versus what I've also got, which are the calibrated ones.
Yep. And still they may have an awesome mod in them.
Yeah.
But it's not worth it. Sacrificing your combat ability to get that mod.
Yep. I'm still using the Mantis armor. Is not as good as some of the other stuff I've picked up, but generally speaking, it's better overall as a piece. So I'm still using that. I'm still using the same Equinox I picked up.
Disarm them. That 5% to disarm them is amazing.
Yeah.
That saved my ass so many times.
Yeah. The jump pack has the stealth when you crouch, which is nice as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm using a pistol, which is awesome, but I cannot buy ammo for it. It's just 45. Yeah. I've got thousands of other rounds for other guns, but do you think I can get enough, buy enough 45? Why does a vendor, Tony, only have 20 bullets of a gun?
Yeah.
Where's the point? That's not even a full box of ammo.
It's crazy.
I've seen The Walking Dead. I've seen what people have in their little arsenals, okay? It's more than 20, 45 rounds, okay?
Yes.
Why can I not just buy unlimited ammo from whomever I want?
Yeah.
Why can I not make my own ammo?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, it's just the game gets in the way of itself.
It does.
It's just like, I don't want to have to go check a bunch of vendors, which I try to do every time I go to somewhere.
You've got to remember where the vendors are.
You remember where they are. Yeah. You buy a gun, Digipix, med packs, 45 ammo. Every time you got to check it. Yeah.
I'm going to segue completely.
Yeah, you're right.
Because this is very amusing. Have you ever boarded an enemy ship on a planet? You know how the ships fly and land?
Mm.
Have you ever boarded one?
Where my outpost is, there's a bunch of spaces that land nearby, so there's always a ship over there that I can go and raid and take over kind of thing. So you go on board and they're all attacking you and stuff like that. But what have you experienced?
So I got in.
Yeah.
Ship landed. I got in the cargo bay.
Yeah.
I'm looking around. Ship takes off.
Oh, shoot.
I go, oh, okay. What's going to happen here? Suddenly, I fall out the bottom of the ship and gracefully land back on the planet.
Oh.
So the game, I guess the game realized I was completely stuffed if the ship took off and I was stuck on it.
I thought you would have gone into space and then had to fight them in space and then take the ship. And fly back home again.
I kind of was thinking, do I want to do that? What's going on? But then I just fell through the floor and landed gracefully back on the planet.
Hilarious.
Yes, I thought that was very funny.
Right. No, the one I go is it's already landed on the ground, so you can just steal
it. So you never had it take off.
No.
No, when I was on the ship and it took off, I go, oh my God, this is so realistic. The ship's taking off. Oh, crap. The ship's taking off. What am I going to do?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Another place where the game gets on top of itself is level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yep.
You get skill points faster than you get the ability to upgrade your skills. Because you know how you have to do certain things to upgrade your skills?
Yeah.
So for 6 levels, you're thinking, I'm going to be washed with skill points. I don't need to worry about what I spend them on. So I wasted 3 of my initial 6 skill points because I thought
they were going to keep coming.
It's going to come at that rate. Now I'm got five skills that all want to get updated, and I've got no skill points to update them.
And you need to unlock more stuff. I'm not fully there yet, but I'm pretty convinced the whole skill tree is just trash.
It's terrible because I've done the research, so I've got really good research.
Yeah.
But you need culinary research.
Oh, yeah.
You need
outpost engineering, weapons mod research.
Not just weapons mod. In order to get the best weapons mods, you need two other things as well as the weapon mods.
Yeah.
And then the space suit. You need space suit. You can't just research. You've got to have, I think there's six different skills.
I just don't understand
why you need rank four to research stuff.
I just would have preferred if you didn't have to use a skill point to then upgrade the
thing. No, it should upgrade.
Well.
Yeah, they should upgrade. You should get less skill points.
Yes.
Overall, you should get less skill points, but as you reach those milestones, your skill automatically upgrades to the next level.
Yeah.
Which encourages you to keep using this stuff.
Yeah, and I have to then use it and then spend a skill point. It seems bizarre.
Yeah, I've given up on persuasion. So useful enough, so I've completely given up on that. I've given up on my laser rifles because I've got other things that I want to spend in here.
I got to rank 3 of persuasions, like the 30% chance. Yep. I persuade everyone.
Yeah, I'm absolutely persuading everyone. Most people.
Yeah, like no problem. I think I've only not persuaded one person, and that was like, it was going to be a tough sell. Like, there was very little chance of it going through kind of thing. But everyone else, I not normally do that kind of stuff, but this time I'm like,
I've been paying attention and most of them only have 4 or 5 blocks you need to get. And there's usually a green plus 2. So green is, you're almost certainly going to persuade them.
Yeah.
Yellow is you've got a 50-50 chance, but red is you're unlikely to persuade them.
Oh, that's, yeah.
So, and if you only need to get 5 blocks, you get 3 goes, and there's plus 2s, you just do the 3 plus 2 greens and you succeed.
I do a lot of the red ones, and I still succeed and get it in one go. Yeah. So, like, I don't know how much, like, the red, yellow, green thing seems to matter, but, like, yeah.
And the other thing, you asked me where I was up to. I did this whole a repeat of the Starship Foundry that's been abandoned where there's a huge Starship getting loaded up but everything's busted and you can't get on the Starship.
Oh, okay.
And there's
I don't think I remember that one.
Pirates using it to trade their illegal goods.
Yep.
And incidentally, there's a Skill Power comic in there.
Oh.
But it's only the very first one because I've done this whole base and the Skill Power comic's not where it's supposed to be.
Oh.
So you only get one. You can't keep getting it and build up.
Yep. Makes sense. Makes sense.
Now I've completely forgotten what I was going to say.
They had a huge ship dock you were doing.
Yeah. What were we talking about before?
that was exactly 30 seconds ago, Tony. And
I know. Yeah. It was very compelling.
Bad weapons, bad stuff.
No, don't worry. Don't try it. It's gone.
Yep. It'll come back.
But yeah, the repeating nature of the points of interest removes their interestingness.
Yeah, there's not any point doing. Feel like just filler. If you just like just playing the act of just doing the game and just like
that's what I was
like doing it. Then maybe going to the points of interest makes sense. It keeps you interested. It is something to do.
Yes,
but only in that sort of
too
like
many of them.
I don't want to play anything else. I just want to play Starfield, not think, and just run around and shoot and just do that. Like I can totally see the appeal of that. Otherwise, it's just not more worth really engaging in.
Anyway, I was doing one of these places.
Yeah,
I accidentally picked up a bit of contraband without realizing it. Then got scanned by the UC.
Then
I got pulled on board the ship and got told that I want to have to infiltrate the Crimson Fleet. So I'm in the middle of infiltrating the Crimson Fleet.
Oh, yeah. I got... How did I get picked up?
But what's silly is I'm wearing the Mantis armor and no one's pointing it out to me.
The Mantis armor is interesting. I did not get picked up for ages. And then I've had quite a few of those arrive in an area.
Yeah, and the pirates run away.
Kind of thing. And people go, the Mantis. Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. You know, so it is there. It's just not everywhere. It's not everywhere. Persuasive kind of thing. I had another really annoying random encounter was a school bus, not a school bus, but you know, like it was a teacher on a school trip, and the ship had broken down, and they needed ship parts to be repaired. I'm like, yeah, sure, no worries. I need 10 ship parts.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
Like, holy, that's what is insane. Wrong with your ship? Like one like fixes most of mine. You need 10. I didn't have 10.
Yeah, no.
Hang on. duck off, buy a bunch, come back, chip's gone. That whole thing is gone.
Oh, like, really?
Even persist.
That's terrible.
I'm like, oh, so I just left a whole bunch of school children to die apparently in space, you know, or something like that. I was like, oh, that's a real bummer.
Yeah.
You know, like it should have locked that in for a while. I didn't dilly-dally. I went there, got the ship parts, came back. You know, like.
And who's going to be running around with 10 ship parts? That's 100 kilos.
Well, this guy... Because I bought 10 ship parts to give to them. So, 18 ship parts. So, this guy's got a whole bunch.
But if it's not going to be persistent, that's crazy.
10 was a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot. I had like 8 on me and I felt I was fully stocked up. Yeah, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. But look.
We should move on from Starfield.
We should.
We're going on for too long.
Starfield is fun.
It's fun. It's a game I love to hate.
Yeah, at the moment. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm curious to see how you go. Oh, that's what I'm going to say. Ivan's Eye of the World quest, do that next.
Okay.
Definitely don't want to sleep on that. I slept on it and I really regretted that.
Okay.
it's a whole huge aspect of the game.
Okay.
So, Starfield's obviously got a lot of automation and stuff like that, I thought I would just keep on the automation train, so to speak. Yep.
Building outposts.
And you sent me a link to Foundry, a new game by... It's published by Paradox. It's made by somebody else.
Okay.
I don't remember who it is. First game they've ever done.
Yeah. It's first a multiplayer. Person,
co-op. Yeah, which Satisfactory factory is building. Co-op as well.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yep. Co-op factory builder. So I downloaded the demo because the demo was out for it. Alpha demo.
Yep.
Installed it. And I uninstalled it.
It's that bad.
It's not bad. I wouldn't say bad. Bad is unfair.
Bad's the wrong word.
To what it is, because it is, it 100% borrows a lot of like things from Satisfactory. Like you can tell there's some influence, but I feel like they've slept on some of the best parts about it. Like for example, you need to craft buildings and have the building in your inventory before you can place it.
Okay.
Which is more like a survival game kind of tends to do more of that kind of stuff. You got to craft a bunch of bricks before you can make them.
Yeah.
With Satisfactory, you just put the hologram down and you go, whoop, and it makes it. You don't have to like, I have to make a constructor, put it on my hotbar and then do it. I just pick it from the menu, the hologram's there, which it has holograms as well when you place.
Okay.
And then you just, it just goes from your, the parts go from your inventory to the thing.
Yeah.
This cuts out a whole, there's a whole unnecessary step there.
Fun. Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, this is a bit tedious. The platforms are so small that like carry power and stuff is like, oh, this is so tedious to try to drag these out kind of thing. Okay. It felt like a lot of jank in it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I played it for a bit. I'm like, I get what you're doing. I can see there's some interesting stuff here. But
you need to execute it better.
It's very indie.
Okay.
It's voxel-based game, so it's got a lot of the very like clean palette on the colors and textures because it's all the voxels everywhere to sort of make it go, which should make it fun because it should be destructible environments and all that kind of good stuff, which Satisfactory doesn't have. So it could be interesting, but definitely one to put on the shelf and come back. We'll come back at a later date and re-review.
Okay.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. It did make me sudden a Satisfactory save though. Building a new one in the completely different environment.
Yeah.
It's amazing just how much different just being in a different location and having to like work with different nodes and different resources changes like the approaches you need to take. Like what you did before may not work because you just don't have the same stuff in the same areas and things. So it is interesting that like, you know, yes, but I'm refining my solution to building the game, doing a 1-1-1. So there's 4 space elevator parts.
Yeah.
So you can do a 1-1-1-1 solution, which is one part per minute for all of those pieces to beat the game. And so I'm perfecting. I've got a good idea of how I'm going to do it. I did the first factory I built was just an insane mess. It beat the game, but it was a messy nightmare. And the second one I did come up with a really neat solution, but there was a few fatal flaws in it. It didn't really work well. The third one I did, I overcommitted too soon. And so I needed to like build everything again and I didn't like the location or anything. And so I'm like, I can't really tear it down. I'm just going to start again. I'm just going to start again, Tony. And so I'm just in the point now of planning the base out, laying all the paint down. So I've got it all. We'll see how we go with this one kind of thing. But yes, tell me about Lamplighters League. Cause have you, Did you mention this last time we talked?
No.
I don't remember it.
No.
It's fresh.
It's
Lamplighters League.
Harebrained Schemes and Paradox.
But Lamplighters League is it's a thing, isn't it? It's a property. It's like a...
No, I don't know, is it?
Huh.
It's like, they're like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Maybe that's what I'm...
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a... So the Lamplighters, so it's alternate future post-World War One. I think it's post-World War One. That's the feeling I'm getting from it.
Yep.
It might be post-World War Two, but I think they all look like Bosch rather than Nazis. So I think it's post-World War One.
Yep.
It is a stealth turn-based, so there's a stealth mechanic to it as you infiltrate the bases, and then when you go loud and you turn-based combat. I really love the aesthetics. The aesthetics are great.
I was just having a look. It looks very feel like I've seen that style of character style. Before on the place kind of thing. It looks like it's good. Yeah.
It's a really good cartoon. You know style. What
I think? I think I'm getting confused with the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
And then just like Green Lantern and the Lantern Corps.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm missing those two together to make it into the Lamplighters League. Like something like that. You know, there's always
But that is exactly what the Lamplighters League is.
Oh yeah.
It's a group of rich like gentlemen spies, basically.
Yep.
But they've lost. The Lamplighters League have lost to the something court, not the Shadow Court, not the Crimson Court, the bad guys of the something court. And they're, it's very, the theme is just, they've nailed the theme.
Yeah.
So this game is the opposite of Starfield in my book.
Yeah.
Absolutely love the game. Everything about the game they're doing right, but it crashes all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it's crashed on me so many times. So the game was a 12 gig download. They even did an 11 gig patch just recently, and it still crashes on me. But yeah, you've got all these individual characters you've got to recruit, and then they've got all these skills that you get, but it's all fixed, so you know what skills that they've got. You know how much it's going to cost you to build those skills. All your information is given to you right on the outset.
How nice is that?
Hey? And there's all these resources you need to collect, but the resources all do something unique, and so you know. When you're collecting the resources, what you're going to be able to do with those resources, exactly what you're going to be able to do with those resources.
Can I say, with a perk tree in Starfield, right? You talk about like you can look at the thing and know what it is.
Yes.
Trying to work out what perk you need based on like, I need outpost research. How do I find outpost research on that thing when they don't even give you like the name in the bottom section isn't there. The name's science. In the tool thing. You got to click on it to see what it actually does because it's locked. So God forbid we should tell you what it does.
What it actually does, yes.
Pits.
Yes.
Exact opposite.
It is the exact opposite. You can browse through all the abilities you haven't unlocked, and it tells you what they do.
Yeah.
So you can plan in the order you want to unlock them. The only thing it doesn't tell you is what resources you're going to need to unlock them.
All right.
Because halfway down the tree, suddenly there's this extra resource comes in. And that's how they limit your character's power. But as soon as that happens, you realize, okay, well, that's the way it's for every single character. And it is.
Yep.
It's exactly the same for every single character. That's exactly how they limit the character's powers.
Which makes sense,
So it's really entertaining. The story's really good. Yep. It's really got that cheesy sci-fi kind of vibe to it. The only thing I don't like about it is some of the stealth stuff can mess you up if you mess up your stealth. So the autosaves are terrible. One of the reasons it's crashing is because the autosaves were crashing it. So they've disabled the autosaves. So the autosaves are right at the start of the mission and right at the end of the mission. And some of the missions are quite long. And if you're 3/4 of the way through the mission and you mess up your stealth thing, suddenly you can alert 16 enemies and it's really hard to handle 16 enemies.
That's the problem with stealth, right? Going loud is often very... It depends on the game, but some of them don't handle that very well. Like the
It works really well if you get it right.
Yeah.
So you can not neutralize. What is when you separate an enemy from everyone else?
Yeah.
Isolate. You can isolate an enemy and then take them out individually. So that works quite well.
Okay. I see.
And there's a whole bunch of events. So my last mission that I did, as the enemies, the court starts getting better troops.
Yeah.
And they start becoming immune to your stealth takedowns.
Yeah.
And my last mission, I tried to stealth take down a guy that was immune to stealth takedowns. So I'm there now. I'm in the middle of all of them, and I've alerted them all.
I see. I shouldn't have said some games don't do it well, because that's just a technical thing on there, and more that like some games are like very punishing on that. Like, yes. You stealth, you got to be stealth. And other games are like, you can, and then you go loud. Well, that's okay. a doable thing kind of thing. You know, that's one of the ones.
Normally it is. I just happened to try and take down a guy that was in the middle of 16 enemies.
Yeah.
And he had alerted all that. Yeah. And it got very messy.
Oh.
But it's good. Your characters can feel really powerful. Like I've got... You take three agents on most missions, and then the critical missions you take four agents on. And I've got two agents that are really powerful. And when I take them on with the agents that are powerful, you really notice the difference.
Yeah, right.
It's really noticeable. The agents have invested in increasing their skills. They are really powerful.
Mm, so that's cool.
I love it. I recommend it to anybody that likes turn-based strategy games. It's one of the best I've played.
Wow.
It's equally as enjoyable as the Chaos... What was it? Demon? Warhammer 1.
Yep. Yep.
It's equally as good as that, but very, very different game.
Yeah, right.
So, thumbs
definitely
up.
Definitely better than Marvel Midnight Suns.
Oh, yes. Yeah, 100%. Much better than Marvel Midnight Suns. It's really good.
Oh, that's cool.
They've really nailed the theme. They've really nailed the mechanics. Everything about it is good. It just keeps crashing all the time. I haven't ever had a save corrupt, though, which is good. So I only ever lose like a 45 minutes to an hour of gameplay. It's the worst that happens. But, in this day and age, things shouldn't be crashing.
Well, it's rough. We played a bit of Battlefield 1942. What are the most recent?
Whatever it is.
The most recent Battlefield is. And so it was four of us. And every time the map would restart, we're playing on the same server.
Mm.
I know. I think first there was trouble like getting onto a server.
Yes.
Like profile problems. And then out of the four of us, every time we go to and restart the map, one of us, we get the black screen where it doesn't load. You go to Alt F4 and then reload the game again kind of thing. Yep. It's like a $1 billion company. Yes. Satisfactory is, I'm on the experimental branch, like bleeding edge.
Yep.
It doesn't crash.
Yep.
You know, there's a couple of bugs, a couple of things that they sort of put in and like it doesn't really work the way the community thought and stuff. It's been like... four patches this week of just hot fixing the things that, not crashes, mind you, just like, we changed the way signs work, so now they stick to the roof, but people want to use the pole. So we added an option so you can have either flat to the roof or use the pole. So now you have a choice.
Yeah.
Like that was what they decided was important enough to hot fix. It's like such a different experience there. I'm a bit, these guys, I had a look at who the developer was, and they're part of Paradox. So they've got money and things behind them not to have.
Well, they did Battletech. They did Shadowrun, the Shadowrun remake.
That gets Paradox. I don't think that's Half-Brain.
No, that's Harebrained Schemes.
Oh, Harebrained as well, is it? Oh, they didn't have that listed when I went to look at their things.
They did this awesome little freemium. They did this awesome little freemium Starship game too. I can't think what it was called, but that was really good, except all the really good the carriers were all hidden behind them.
Oh, I read the wrong... I read the games that the two people who founded the studio had worked on beforehand, the Wikipedia article. Yes, no, but going down, Shadowrun, And, Necropolis, Battletech and their Lamplighters League is their latest one. Yeah. So they've definitely got a long history of turn-based games in their repertoire.
Yeah. Kind
of you really like Shadowrun as well, from what I remember.
Yeah, Shadowrun was good, yes.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, I'm glad you found a good one to play. There's been a couple of duds in there.
And so I played, so when it came out, I did Starfield, Lamplighters League, Starfield. Then I did... a little bit of Starfield, Lamplighters League, Starfield. Then I did. I'll start off with Lamplighters League and haven't gone back to Starfield since.
Yeah, he's just got you. Yeah, fair enough. That's hooked me in.
So I still enjoy playing Starfield and I'm definitely 100% going to go back to it, but Lamplighters League has completely hooked me in.
Yeah, I've already dumped a lot of hours into Starfield already now. I'm sort of like, I think there's rough edges, like dealing with the outpost, and that's kind of like really like just drains me kind of thing from it kind of thing. I feel like too, with the main story quest, I have a suspicion I've kind of hit the hardness limit. I kind of need to get better gear, which means going out and dealing with all that, which I was like...
Yeah. And it's all random. You can't go to someone and say, I want you to build me this spacesuit with these stats.
Things and stuff. Yeah.
I want you to build it for me so I can go and do the rest of it. No, you got to run around till you randomly find it on a drop.
Yeah, which is... just terrible.
And there's too many. There's too many different types of spacesuits. There's too many different types of helmets. There's too many different types of boost packs. You cannot use the boost packs unless you invest the skill in boost packs.
Yeah.
You can't even use it.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I think it's not too many weapons. It's just that too many weapons with a randomized control set that they've got, where you've got like different rarities with different mods, plus the different like qualities as well. That table is way too big.
Yeah, it's way too big.
Just with RNG and stuff, it's just just not fun. We did play one session of Baldur's Gate 3.
We did.
Which we won't go too much into, but I will give you one one spoiler from that play session. We killed a lot of people. Oh, actually, no. Correction. We didn't. We stood by and let other people kill other people. It's probably more correct in that one as well. One disappointed monster hunter later. Good stuff. So we'll definitely be playing some more Baldur's Gate 3. We'll come out with some more updates and shenanigans of our latest playthroughs. God, we're terrible.
Yes.
We're terrible
people. And we're evil people. Oh, yeah. 100%. We're not good.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right. So until then, Tony, thank you very much.
Thank you, Luke.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the internet.